Would you all introduce yourselves, please? So we know that we have people in the room other than me.
My name is Jesse.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Jeremy.
Are you in a band?
Yes, sir.
What would that band be called?
Apollo Sunshine.
I've got the right band.
Yeah, we got the right address.
Dude, we're there. Let's talk a little Boston. This is originally, and I underline the word originally, a Boston band. Am I correct so far?
Correct.
Take no offense to that.
Take no offense to that. Good. So tell me a little bit about, like, let's talk Boston hoods. Where did everybody grow up slash live? I know there's Andover in there and there's other things in there, but tell me, let's go deep, dark, and back.
Well, I actually grew up in Texas.
Yeah, and I grew up in New York, but Jesse's the only Massachusetts native in the band.
Hey, if we're talking Boston, we're talking hoods.
I'm talking hoods.
We lived in Alston for a while.
Alston, okay, Brighton, Back Bay, Mission Hill.
I live
Roxbury.
In Inman Square now.
So now, what's wrong with this band? You didn't, like, you haven't done
good question.
An album every 6 months. This is over now, how many years?
Seven
years. I was going to say five, somewhere between five and six or seven.
Five from the release of
yeah,
right.
Five
but you've only but done, but you've only done three records over right. that period of time. Now, how do you get away with that? How do record companies let you
Who's
do
gonna
that?
Who's going to stop us?
Well,
I mean, come on. Where's the output?
We've taken a vow of what's it called when you're always broke?
Not celibacy.
Yeah, it's not.
But it can lead to it.
Yeah, but it can lead to it.
Let me tell you that celibacy is not the vow you take when you're always broke.
Yeah.
For some people, you take the opposite vow.
Now you become quite
the romantic. You resort to becoming a whore.
People think you're really serious about your music when you have no money as a result of it because you're like pure.
Yeah. Right,
you know?
Right.
Couldn't be further from the truth.
So that's it. Celibacy makes you pure. Okay.
This kind of reminded me of a conversation we once had with this major label bigwig who was telling us that he didn't know where the chorus starts and the song begins, something like that.
What was the question?
We'll get that happens a lot. We'll get to the major label bigwigs in a little while.
They're gonna come in and like tear us a new one.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
no,
like, not in your face.
Not in this studio. You
sure
call yourself experiment. Okay, so you go to your site, and for people who don't know the band, here's what they get: experimental rock jungle. That's a pretty cool genre. Can you tell me a little bit how this new album relates to experimental rock and jungle?
Well, you know, it's got the greenery of the plant life and the.
You're really trying to do this.
Yeah,
keep going.
You know, the jungle. It's like it's a jungle out there. Welcome to the jungle, jungle, jungle,
money jungle, concrete jungle.
Yep.
You never know how these are going to go. Would you like to save them?
Jungle Boogie.
No, I wouldn't.
You know, and then experimental.
You know, you say our website, but you're actually talking about the MySpace page, and you have like
it was
these
either that
choices.
Or trans gothic gothic.
Yeah, you can be ghetto tech.
So tell me a little bit about the making of the latest record, because I know that you don't record in Boston, right? You've kind of relocated your brains to that Catskill area. Am I correct?
For that record, we did.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that. Let's clear this up
really
a little bit.
We don't really remember any of it because the spirits took us over and basically told us what to do the whole time. So it's kind of hard to discuss. I don't know.
Dave Fridman, though. Solid guy.
Dave Fridman recorded one acoustic guitar track on our record.
It's true. We went there to do a little bit of mixing, but then we ended up recording more on all of those songs. So we
remixed
anything
it
other than an acoustic guitar track that we recorded there.
Isn't it interesting but how the story has progressed
yeah.
to, you know, Apollo Sunshine recorded and mixed their record. They didn't know, it's funny because the way it, you know, I've got it in here and, you know, obviously he hasn't produced you yet. Any plans for Dave Fridman, like, to do his...
Does it say he hasn't produced us yet in there?
No. But I'm just curious if there's any plans for him to work his... You know,
I don't know.
You could change your name to the Apollo Sunshine Lips.
Yeah.
The Apollo.
Or the Flaming Apollo.
That was definitely one thing I was kind of like... We had worked really hard at recording the whole record. I remember when it was like, oh, should we have Dave Fridman mix it? I was kind of like, well, we've done this whole thing ourselves so far, and I think we really have a vision.
Was that an option?
What we're doing, yeah. I mean, that's what we kind of wanted to go test it out with him, see what it was like.
Well,
and we just found out that he was like an amazing guy, but we had already worked so hard recording the record that he didn't know the little nuances and kind of
we had already, no one really knew how to finish it better than ourselves.
Yeah, we knew how to finish it, so we just kind of were like, oh, you know what, we can do this actually better. Yeah,
we did have a co-producer, though, our friend Quentin Stoltzfus. He's got a band called Mazarin from Philly.
Most underrated band in the world.
Seriously.
Yeah,
and he and us, I mean, we had already made the whole, you know.
So as co-producer, did you just ask him opinions? Well,
no,
so
he was there the whole time.
He was there involved. He plays on the record.
Almost all of it, played on it. And for a while, we were traveling as a four-piece with him.
How many different instruments does each member of this band play? Because you switch around quite a bit.
Never counted. I mean, you can blow it out with like every key of harmonica that you play in and like act like tambourine.
We really
like
just
another,
take
you
know, all musical instruments, I think, the same kind of approach, and whoever has the idea and picked up the instrument, we just kind of go with it. So, but all of us could pull off most
all
instruments.
Rhythm and notes.
Yeah.
Now, what? This is an obvious question to ask, but people do want to know this. So, Shall Noise Upon, you know, compared to the other two releases, when you did brainstorm, when you sat down, you said, "Okay, we're making another record." What? Tell me some. Were there any key points of discussion other than, "Oh, we'll just write some more Apollo Sunshine songs," or were there some definitive things that you set out to do?
It all kind of happened pretty organically, you know. Yeah. Obviously, we sort of just like eased our way into the making of the record, given by the amount of time it took to put it out. So I think it just is.
Yeah, how long did you fart around in the recording studio to get to this lovely record?
The record took about 8 months to make from the point we started recording.
Yeah, I mean, we went on tours within that time and stuff like that. It wasn't like constantly working on the record.
No farting allowed.
Yeah, I don't remember anyone actually farting, though.
So yeah, I don't remember.
That's
that.
Kind of a weird thing to say. But.
That's the key moment of the interview right there. You know, it's like a movie where there's an arc to the script. We just hit the arc right there. Now we have to save it from here.
Yeah.
One more thing I do know in listening is that what critics have trouble doing, despite, you know, the perfect reviews in certain magazines where you get the 8.0 and blah, 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 is that... They have trouble pigeonholing this band, and you love that, don't you?
Well, it's cool because it's like, oh yeah, we're like widely accepted in different genres, but I also it's kind of like hindrance our like sort of
acceptability, I suppose.
Yeah, like overall, like people being like, oh, I can like put my hat of approval on.
It's not like we intentionally try to be a band that's weird or something. You know, this is just the music that comes out of us naturally and. We can't change that.
No, I think we kind of like jump over to different little genres. No one can pigeonhole us. So, also, it's hard to just like get it to a mass public.
Yeah, pretty much the only people that can get really into our band are people who like listen to kind of a lot of music and can kind of sense like how these things tie together. You know,
and that's a positive.
I think so.
Yeah, totally.
It's the kind of music we want to listen to. So
yeah,
we're happy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, I watched a couple of videos this morning, and it's kind of interesting. So Singing to the Earth felt kind of me like the 2000 version of The Summer of Love. It was just like, I just wanted to lay back and get into the vibe of the video. And then there was Money, which was really kind of interesting because it was, you know, it was mixed media. You know, you really pulled some really cool clips there. So I want to do Money first. When you produced that, and for that matter wrote the song, did you know how relevant that song was going to be right now?
We actually first recorded that song in 2005, just as like a demo. And when we went to make our album, like the guy that was putting out our album was like, hey, will you record that song again? We had never released it. So we were like, sure. And then we ended up trying it, and it worked again.
But were you amazed now that record's come out and what's going on in the world?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, it's good timing. But, I mean, yeah, I suppose. I don't know. I mean, money for us has always been sort of the topic of that song.
Elusive.
Yeah, it's always been similar to us. I think we've always, seen how much money some people have, but I don't know. It's always been kind of a thing to be like, oh yeah, it'd be cool if that didn't really exist so much.
It's not like money just became a problem.
Yeah, yeah. Probably, you know.
That's an honor. Yes, I understand. Believe
me. The
whole
consciousness of, I think, looking at money.
Any of these fields, that is the way it comes and it goes at the speed of light.
Yeah.
You perform some pretty interesting cover songs when you do covers. You're not going for the obvious in anything you do. There was somebody who wrote on a blog the other day, I forgot what the cover you did was recently, but... when you choose to do cover songs, is it just you're kind of hanging out and saying, I like that song, or is there a purpose in mind? Or
Yeah, it's usually a song we just like. We think that we can play in a way that would be cool or different. Or
what's
it's usually when like a corporate party like calls us and is like, we'll pay you $2,000 to learn these songs.
Seriously?
No, but that did happen like probably 5 years ago. We did that.
I was going to say, that would be kind of an interesting. I'd like to see that.
No, we had to learn like 30 or 40 songs for this company.
It's an animation company called Blue Sky.
What were the three most obtuse, insane that you never thought in your entire friggin' life songs you'd be playing?
Ruby Soho.
Ruby Soho.
Dance to the Music.
Oh, yeah.
By Sly and Family Stone. Last Night. Into American Girl.
Yeah.
The Stroke song into the Tom Petty song.
Nice.
So we learned some Talking Heads. We learned, was there a Clash song we did?
Maybe.
They gave you 30 songs.
Yeah, they gave us a massive list.
We learned.
It was fun though. I mean, it was like a little bit of a challenge for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We ended up playing Helter Skelter that night, and we had strobe lights on our chest, and mine hit myself in the forehead and started bleeding all over the place.
It was awesome. It was very corporate.
Yeah.
Bleeding all over the place in your mind is very corporate.
People were going now nuts.
I know what I'm dealing with here.
Yeah.
That set the tempo for everything.
Between that and the sushi hors d'oeuvres, it was a great party.
What is this? Somebody wrote a whole like paragraph or two about a 15-minute percussion interlude.
Oh. I doubt it was 15 minutes.
That's the way they wrote it, though.
Maybe more like 30.
They wrote, there was a 15-minute, the band was great, and then I was into them. And then there was this 15-minute percussion.
You got all hippy-dippy and really turned me off, and damn them for that.
It's literally probably
3 minutes or under,
every good rock show needs a drum solo.
Yeah, we all just get behind the drums at the same time, but it's literally like maybe 2 or 3 minutes.
So if this blogger was in this room right now,
if this blogger was here right now, I'd say
I'd play drums on his face.
We do a thing called a musical sandwich, and what that is two of your songs is the bread, and songs by other artists in between.